You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Larsen & Toubro, or L&T, and Mindtree have been in the news on account of L&T's attempt at a hostile takeover of Mindtree. This week, L&T finally gained a controlling interest in Mindtree, raising its stake in the Bangalore-based company to 60% and successfully concluding India's first hostile takeover of a software developer. L&T increased its stake in Mindtree by 31% through an open offer as large investors rushed to sell their holdings. The increased stake now gives L&T complete control over Mindtree's board and management. This takeover has been in the news for months because Mindtree had even released a scathing statement regarding Mumbai-based L&T's attempt at a takeover. Hostile takeovers are not common in India in services businesses, as people are their key assets. On this edition of Digging Deeper, we will take a brief look at this L&T and Mindtree tussle, as well as a look at hostile takeovers in India and the biggest such cases at home and abroad. This weekend, you'll be treated to a season of hostile takeovers. On Digging Deeper, this is me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive Podcast Series.
Let's start at the very beginning, because why? It's a very good place to start. What is a hostile takeover? A hostile takeover is exactly what it sounds like. You take over something with hostility. Okay, not hostility in the literal sense at gunpoint, but you know, the other party doesn't want to give away control of their company. So it's not exactly friendly, like some wars. You want to take over a country. Sometimes even the people are okay, but the rulers are not. So you march in and take over stuff. Dubious reports about weapons of mass destructions are optional. My point is, this is corporate warfare at its very worst, and it is not pretty. A hostile takeover occurs when one corporation, in this instance L&T, attempts to take over another corporation, say a company called Mindtree, without the agreement of the target corporation's board of directors, meaning Mindtree. That's exactly what transpired between March and June of this year. So at this point, I'm certain you're thinking, isn't L&T a construction company? What does it have to do with the price of tea in China? Mindtree is an IT company. Well, we've seen their name on those pretty yellow machines and trucks at construction sites, right? L&T, it's a construction company. L&T also has a presence in the IT sector, a subsidiary, as you may know, called L&T Infotech. An interesting aside here. Over 5 years ago, Mindtree approached L&T for a deal, but it was turned down. By April 2018, L&T had a change of heart. It began eyeing Mindtree as a possible investment target starting April last year. According to one report on the Economic Times, Chief Executive S.N. Subramanian and Chairman A.M. Naik saw in Mindtree an opportunity to ramp up the services business. L&T Infotech focuses primarily on banking services, so adding Mindtree would expand the company's presence in areas like hospitality and retail. For Mindtree, a deal with L&T would create a $2.4 billion IT services firm with four verticals: banking and financial services, retail, consumer packaged goods and manufacturing, and technology, media and service. This combined entity would reduce client concentration significantly, with no client accounting for greater than 8.5% of revenues. As of now, Microsoft alone contributes around a quarter of Mindtree's billings. A quick background now on Mindtree. Mindtree was started in 1999 by a few ex-Wipro guys. In 2006, they were listed on the BSE and they set an internal target of achieving $1 billion in revenues by 2012. But according to the Economic Times, they missed that target twice and are likely to achieve that target only in this fiscal. Arijit Barman of Economic Times said Mindtree made an, quote, aggressive transition to digital revenue by leveraging exposure to large customers like Microsoft and its background in product engineering, unquote. He added that talk in the industry indicates that Mindtree is likely to grow at a faster rate than the IT industry average. Mindtree is also strong in segments like financial services, with clients like AIG offsetting any adverse currency moves. Interestingly, Mindtree's founders own only 13% of the company's equity base. Nearly 86% of Mindtree's shares were held by public shareholders like FIIs, mutual funds, insurance companies, retail investors, etc. The single largest shareholder was the founder of Cafe Coffee Day, a man named VG Siddharth, who held 20.4% of Mindtree. And now Siddharth is back in the news because he wants to sell Cafe Coffee Day to Coca-Cola. Motorola for about 10,000 crore rupees. Now that aside, VGS, as he's popularly known, has been involved with Mindtree from the very beginning. In fact, the company worked out of an office rented to them by VGS. Burman says he's not just an angel investor, but also a silent partner. It is VGS's stake that was at the bone of contention. Siddharth wanted to exit Mindtree because of liquidity pressures in other ventures dabbling in logistics, coffee chains, etc. You may have heard of it, Cafe Coffee Day. VGS was the one who approached L&T about buying his share in the software company. According to the Economic Times, L&T initially offered Siddharth a non-binding offer of 1,150 rupees per share, which is close to Mindtree's all-time high of 1,183 rupees. But that came with a caveat. Get the management on board to bless the deal. L&T's concern was that in a people-centric business, going against the management might alienate staff and investors. L&T agreed to buy Siddharth's stake in Mindtree, but the software company's management was now averse to the move, claiming that L&T's ethos was too different from their own and seen as inimical to the company's culture. A friendly PE was the safer choice, they thought. Mindtree hadn't anticipated a hostile takeover bid just yet. Chief Executive Rusto Ravanan told The Economic Times, and I quote, "There was a large shareholder who wanted to sell, and we did not have a problem if he sold to somebody who did not have a strategic interest like L&T has. If there was anyone else who had bought it, it would not have led to this hostile reaction from us," unquote. Despite the opposition, L&T Chief Executive S.N. Subramanian met the four founders to iron out the differences. One email from Chairman Krishna Kumar Natarajan to the L&T board said, and I quote, "I recollect many email exchanges between us in January to February 2019, where we had expressed our concerns based on data relating to previous integrations of large IT services providers that any transaction with you would be value destructive to Mindtree and all its stakeholders. When we met, you had categorically stated that your organization does not support hostile acquisitions. But unfortunately, we could not see eye to eye on various business and governance matters and in good faith expected you to cease pursuing Mindtree as a potential target. The continued news reports since then are leading us to believe otherwise," unquote. So polite. L&T's Subramanian disagreed. He said in March, and I quote, "Our meetings were very cordial. Even this morning, I called Mr. Natarajan. He came for my son's wedding. They have never raised any issues about business or governance with us at the meetings. And these have been long 3-hour ones," unquote. So polite again. "You came to my son's wedding. Why are you being like this?" etc. But the matter that was going on was entirely different. Matters came to a head and the hostile takeover saga was soon underway. When a business tries to acquire another, it makes an offer to gain control if it owns 25% of the organization it is eyeing. But L&T would be exploiting a loophole in the Takeover Code of Securities and Exchange Board of India, that is SEBI. In May of this year, L&T scooped up more shares of Mindtree, increasing its total ownership in the software services firm to 26%. Crucially, L&T crossed the 25% mark, which ensured it got a seat on the board and the power to propose or block special resolutions. Cut to June, and L&T completed buying the 31% additional stake it targeted to acquire for 4,988 crore rupees through an open offer as large investors rushed to sell their holdings. Despite opposition from Mindtree's promoters, L&T managed to get enough public shareholders to tender their shares at about 980 rupees apiece and complete the open offer 2 days before its closing date of 28th June. That was yesterday. The offer to purchase 50.9 million shares of Mindtree from public shareholders was subscribed 1.2 times, according to Mint. Nearly all the large institutional investors in Mindtree have sold their stakes to L&T in this open offer. They include Singapore-based Nalanda Capital, that was 10.61%, UTI Mutual Fund, that was 2.97%, Amansa Holdings, 2.77%, Arohi Asset Management, 2.74%, Franklin Templeton Asset Management, 1.06%, Alternative Investment Funds, 1.49%, and a few more mutual funds. So now the 60% stake gives L&T complete control over Mindtree's board and management. The purchase of additional shares through an open offer by L&T after acquiring VGS's 20.4% stake marks the end of a year-long effort by the engineering giant to gain control of Mindtree. L&T has the option to buy a total of 15% of Mindtree's shares from the open market. Mint quoted a source as saying, and I quote, "So far, L&T has bought around 9% from the open market, After 28th June, L&T will look to buying the remaining 6%. Unquote. Reports indicate that if L&T achieves all its share purchase targets, it'll end up holding 66.32% in Mindtree. That's worth around 10,800 crore rupees. So that was a slow, calculated, plodding away before acquiring about 66% in Mindtree. So with that as our story, let's focus on some other hostile takeovers. While India has seen a plethora of mergers and acquisitions of late, hostile takeovers are rare events in the country. Let's look at some of the most prominent attempts at hostile takeovers here. One of the most famous or infamous hostile takeover attempts took place in 1983. London-based industrialist Swaraj Paul sought to control the management of two fairly prominent Indian companies, Escorts Limited and Delhi Cloth Mills, or DCM, by picking up their shares from the stock market. Paul used 13 different companies, all registered in the Isle of Man off the coast of Britain, to acquire about 13% of DCM shares. The Shriram family, the company's promoters, jointly controlled 10%, while remaining shareholding was with public financial institutions. Swaraj Paul employed the same tactic for the acquisition of 7.5% shares in Escorts, while the promoters, that is the Nanda family, controlled less than 5%. Swaraj Paul's brazen move caused a fear of similar hostile takeovers being attempted, and Indian businesses, in a bid to allay such fears, approached the government, seeking help in preventing Swaraj Paul from acquiring control of DCM and Escorts. In May 1983, an overall ceiling of 5% of the paid-up capital of a company under the above-mentioned scheme was established. After long, drawn-out proceedings, Swaraj Paul sold his shares back to the promoters of the respective companies at a mutually agreed price. Another infamous and unsuccessful hostile bid was attempted in the year 2000 for the acquisition of a controlling stake in GESCO, or GESCO. On the 19th of October 2000, Abhishek Dalmia of the AH Dalmia Group attempted to take over a 45% stake in GESCO at 23 rupees per share. The price of the open offer was less than half the book value of the company, which was at about 54 rupees 50 paise. After a series of offers and counteroffers, Renaissance Estates Limited, or REL, raised the offer price to 45 rupees per share. REL acquired a 10.5% share in GESCO through the open market route. GESCO roped in Mahindra Realty and Infrastructures, which bought out the entire block of shares from REL at a price of 54 rupees each, thus rendering that takeover bid ineffective. The only instance of a successful hostile bid in India occurred in February 1998, when India Cements Limited, or ICL, bid for Rasi Cements Limited, Rasi or Rashi. ICL made an open offer for 20% of RCL's shares at 300 rupees per share, when RCL's share price was at like 100 rupees on the stock exchange. Financial institutions also held a considerable stake in RCL, and so a protracted battle ensued between ICL, RCL, and the financial institutions. During the term of the public offer, the promoter of RCL reached a deal to sell his 32% stake to ICL at a price which was lower than the open offer price. Subsequently, ICL also bought out the financial institutions in an open offer and increased their stake in RCL to 85%. There we go. A successful hostile takeover. Globally, one of the most studied hostile takeovers is the leveraged buyout of RJR Nabisco by investment bank KKR in the late 1980s. It was well documented in a book you might have heard of, Barbarians at the Gate, The Fall of RJR Nabisco. RJR Nabisco, which sold tobacco and food products, was created by a record-setting merger between Nabisco and RJ Reynolds for $4.9 billion all the way back in about 35 years ago in 1985. RJR Nabisco was known for the lavish spending of its CEO, F. Ross Johnson, who had a fleet of private jets. RJR Nabisco fell on hard times after its share price tanked in the 1987 market crash. Johnson believed the cigarette business was likely to come under pressure due to health issues with smoking and met with numerous investment banks, including Kohlberg, Kravis, Roberts & Co., or KKR, who suggested an LBO structure. Johnson then began pursuing a deal to take Nabisco private while keeping the cigarette business in the hands of shareholders. He got into a bidding war with KKR, one that KKR eventually won, but at the expense of saddling Nabisco with an extreme amount of debt due to the LBO structure. Although he lost the bidding war, Johnson walked away from the deal with about $23 million after taxes. Another prominent hostile takeover from Europe is the Vodafone and Mansmann saga. Vodafone, a British telecommunications company, took over Mansmann, a German mobile phone company, for around $183 billion in stock in 1999. That merger was the first time a German company had been taken over by a foreign company. Vodafone and Mansmann waged an intense battle for about 3 months before Mansmann ultimately acquiesced to Vodafone's demands. Mansmann shareholders received around 59 shares of Vodafone for each share they owned. Hostile takeovers are not always successful for the acquiring corporation. In 2011, billionaire activist investor Carl Icahn attempted 3 separate bids to acquire Clorox, which the board rejected each time and put into place a new shareholder rights plan to defend against further takeover attempts. Icahn's deal was worth $11.7 billion, but the board wouldn't hear of it. The Clorox board even held strong against Icahn's attempts at a proxy fight, ultimately ending without a takeover being finalized. There we have it, a quick primer on what happened between L&T and Mindtree, and a history lesson about the most prominent hostile takeovers from India and abroad. Here's hoping you're having a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.